were driving through Marshall, and we could not get cell covered, so we had to pull off the side of the road and park. So I'm sorry we're a couple minutes late here. Thank you.
All right. Glad to get you on here. Of course, members of Congress like yourself are back in their states and districts for the August recess. You've been traveling the state and are traveling right now. Who have you been meeting with, what have you been discussing, and what have you been hearing from Arkansans while you're home?
Well, yesterday we had all the telecommunications companies and stakeholders in Arkansas at a hearing in Little Rock, and it was at the Arkansas Electric Cooperatives. That was good because there we were talking about technology and the current state of technology in Arkansas and the future, and all that was very positive. But, you know, I've been doing everything from going through, you know, plant tours to just getting out around the state, talking to farmers, talking to business owners. It's just been very positive. I think a week ago, I think my staff told me I was in 12 different counties, and I kind of have that same type of schedule today. I'll be in three, I guess, maybe four counties today, and I guess four total today. And then, you know, just kind of keep moving around the state, talking to people, listening to people. And I guess the answer to your question is people are concerned about jobs in the economy. I think people feel better about things, but still there's enough uncertainty out there where, you know, I still hear that quite a bit.
Well, you've been talking about job creation. There's a difference of opinion on the best way to accomplish that or to stimulate that.
Yeah, I think obviously what we have to do is let the private sector lead the way. I think, you know, sometimes inside the Beltway, people talk about government this, government that, you know, a government program, a government something. Well, you know, all that can only take you so far. Ultimately, what you need is you need the private sector to really get engaged and go forward. I think one of the things we could do in Washington that would really be helpful is if we would just send positive signals to the economy, not just in the U.S., but around the world, that this is a good place to do business. It's okay to invest. It's a good thing to hire some people or to expand. You know, that's the kind of thing that we need to be doing in Washington. And unfortunately, the sort of the gridlock and this partisan divide, this whole red versus blue political environment we're in Washington right now, that's not good for the economy. It's making people hesitate and wonder, you know, if they should really, you know, make these big business decisions, because who knows what's going to happen after the next election.
When you talk about these signals that the government could send, what are we talking about? Tax cuts, deregulation, repealing Obamacare? What signals are we talking about there?
Yeah, well, you know, that's a good question. I think in terms of Obamacare, you know, that is the law of the land. It's gone to the U.S. Supreme Court. It was upheld. So I think that is here to stay. That law is far from perfect. But, you know, there are already some good things that are happening as a result of it. You know, they're about to announce the exchanges in Arkansas in October, either late September or October. And it looks like, you know, that's going to be positive for the state. But basically, there are a lot of reforms in there that are already starting to happen. I was at a hospital the other day, and they were saying very positive things about Obamacare and how it's going to help them provide better services to more people. And, you know, we could go through all that. But I think that, like, for example, the U.S. House, they've now voted to repeal Obamacare 40 times, literally 40 times. Well, that's not helpful. It's not going to be repealed. It's just not going to happen. Why keep stirring it up? Let's look for let's try to build on the good things in it, and let's try to fix the things that are problematic. And that's kind of where I am. Let's try to fix what's not going to work or what we have concerns about. But just to say you want to repeal without offering a better alternative, that's not helping much. So, you know, that would be one thing. You mentioned tax reform. That is something that the Congress needs to do. Everybody in this state knows that our federal tax code is way too complicated, and it's just unfair the way it's currently structured. So, you know, we need to send that signal as well.
Well, you talking about the health care law, you've heard some positive things you say about how it will impact Arkansans, and there's a lot of concern about how it will impact Arkansas businesses, and a lot of people are very concerned about this. Republicans, particularly in the House, have been unsuccessful at repealing it, so now they're trying to defund it. What do you think about those efforts?
Well, here again, I think what they're doing is just creating the uncertainty around this. And when they talk about defunding it, some are actually talking about shutting the government down. Now, look, we just got back our AAA rating from, you know, those rating agencies for the federal government. We went down to AA. We just got back to the AAA. Let's don't jeopardize that again. Let's do not play political games with our future like this. And I know that there are congressmen, particularly congressmen, that don't like Obamacare, but it is the law of the land. And you know what? Part of a democracy, and I've been here, I've done this, you get in there and you fight hard, and when you lose, you move on, and you go to the next issue. And, you know, we just have a lot of people in Washington that won't let it go, and I think that right there is creating some of the uncertainty. And now they're saying, oh, we're going to shut the government down. We're going to defund it. We're going to do X. We're going to do Y. It's just not helpful. And here's the other thing about it is, when they say they want to repeal it or shut it down, you know, again, there are things in Arkansas, like when you do the – Arkansas did the Medicaid expansion. They did the so-called private option.
Mm-hmm.
And also when you throw in the exchanges with all the tax credits and all the incentives that we're going to have in Arkansas for that, you're going to have about 500,000 people in this state that will have private insurance because of this law. That's 1 in 6 people. 1/6 of our population is going to have health insurance, and you know, additional to what they have today.
Right.
So this is a major development. This is huge for Arkansas, and we have people that want to repeal that. And it's, I just think, you know, we had 120,000 Arkansans this year that already have received a refund from our health insurance company because the health insurance company wasn't providing enough insurance for them. They were spending too much on their overhead, not enough on their health care. So, you know, I don't think that most Arkansans want to see those improvements go away. So, you know, again, let's build on the positive and let's work on the negative. If there are things that aren't working, let's fix those. Let's work on those. But, you know, let's stop the games in Washington.
Well, how do we glean the truth from the rumors and the misinformation about this law?
Well, this has been something that literally from day one, when people called my office, or whatever it was it 4 years ago when we passed this, 3 or 4 years ago, when people would call us, they'd say, this is a government takeover of health care, so oppose it. Well, you look at the bill, there's not a government takeover of health care here. I mean, there's no, look at what's going on right now, even though there's a lot of regs pending, there's no government takeover of health care. So that turned out not to be true. People would say, well, if this is so good, then Congress ought to be subject to it. Well, guess what? We are. You know, the Congress has to drop our FEHBP health insurance that we get right now that other federal employees get, and we have to go into the exchanges. Well, that's okay. You know, it's not the end of the world. It's fine. Millions of Americans will do it. Congress should do it, too. That's fine. But, you know, you can go down the list. We had people call in and say, well, the way to fix this is to allow you to buy health insurance across state lines. Well, guess what? That's in the law. So a lot of these objections and problems, some of them were imagined and made up, and then others, the concerns were met. And so, you know, there's just been a whole lot of disinformation and misinformation about this law. What I would encourage people to do is actually look at the law, go to like the state government websites, go to the federal government websites, look at it, learn about it, see what's really in there, tune out the rhetoric. And again, I know not everybody's going to agree on it. I'm not saying that they will or even they should, because there are problems with it, but there's a lot of good in it, too.
Yeah. Kids started back to school yesterday. One of the concerns that we've been hearing about recently in the news, nearly 60,000 preschool-age kids across the nation are not able to get a head start this year because of the sequester. How much concern is there about this?
Well, there's no question that Head Start has been a very successful program. Every teacher, every school administrator, every educator in the country knows the value of Head Start. And what is, you know, that's for low-income kids that need a little head start.
Mm-hmm.
And it works. It pays dividends. It can change someone's life literally for a lifetime. It gets them started on the right foot when they get to school. So I'm concerned about that. You have Head Start and a few other programs that have been very successful, and the sequester is going to cut that funding. The problem is, it's bad enough right now, but it's just going to continue over the next few years if we don't address the sequester and don't really get our budget fixed. And I'm for fixing the budget. I mean, you know, I'm for making the hard decisions and fixing the budget. So I don't want to see Head Start cut.
Is there motivation, though, in Congress to restore this funding?
Well, you know, you get into this great divide in Congress, and a lot of this is Democrat versus Republican, but some of it is almost Republican versus Republican, especially in the House, because you have this group of Republicans that, honestly, this is why they ran. They ran to do things like dismantle Head Start, to dismantle the farm programs. You know, they ran on this platform, and they love where we are right now. They love the sequester. They want it. They're not going to lift a finger to stop it. You know, this is the same crowd that wants to shut the government down over and over and over. This is the same crowd that wants to jeopardize our AAA credit rating, you know, things like that. But it's real, and it's part of the political scene today, and that's what you get. So I wish I could say that everyone in Washington wanted to act responsibly, and everybody wanted to do things that were really good for the country. But, you know, in my view, at least, this is maybe my opinion, I think there are people up there that actually don't want things to work. And anyway, that's just where we are today.
You mentioned the farm programs. Congress, of course, left Washington for the August recess with the farm bill still up in the air. I know Senator Bozeman is on the conference committee. When you get back, are we going to see progress when Congress gets back to D.C.?
Well, I certainly hope so. I'm disappointed with where we are with the farm bill. I think this is it's a manufactured crisis in farming, you know, that Congress has manufactured. But the truth is, this is a real crisis. If we don't get this fixed by the end of September, we're going to revert back to the 1949 agriculture law in this country. No one should want to see that. For one thing is, literally, our fiscal year begins October 1st. Probably by October 5th, when you go to the grocery store, you'll probably pay double for a gallon of milk of what you're paying right now. So this is real. This is going to affect people's pocketbooks. It creates all kinds of problems for the country. And I'm glad John Bozeman's going to be on the conference. I think he's going to be a good conferee. I think he's going to try to get us to something we can all live with. And I certainly hope that we get all this resolved in September. But here again, this is how Congress is continuing to create uncertainty in the business community. And you know, agriculture, we think of it as kind of a special thing and a special category, which it is. But the bottom line, agriculture is business. I mean, these are small businesses all over the state of Arkansas. Some of these are large businesses that are involved, people like Tyson Foods and others. But if this farm bill does go away, and we're not able to get to a resolution by the end of September, then it is going to be very chaotic for the country.
Well, the SNAP program seems to be the main sticking point in the Farm Bill debate, but what about the farm programs themselves? Are there changes there that are going to impact our farmers in a positive way or negative way? What are the changes there?
Well, there are some changes to the what we call the commodities title, and you know, not every single farmer in Arkansas is going to be crazy about those. There will be some changes, and some of those will affect their bottom line. But this is, you know, kind of your typical compromise on farming legislation. This is a 5-year farm bill, and these farm bills change. You don't lock these things in forever. You change them every 5 years. You make your adjustments, and this has its share of adjustments. But overall, the agriculture sector is pretty happy with what the Senate did in its farm bill. And again, John Bozeman is on the Senate Ag Committee, and he deserves quite a bit of credit because he hung in there and stood tall when we needed him to. So the Senate bill is very good. The House bill is the one that's a problem. And, you know, like you said, the commodities title, there are some changes, but they're changes that most Arkansas farmers say they can live with.
Well, just very quickly, a little less than a minute left. Another thing you've been talking about while you're back home is improving broadband access in rural areas. This is still a problem in a lot of areas right here in Arkansas that don't have high-speed, reliable internet access.
No, it really is a problem, and that's what we had the hearing about yesterday in Arkansas with all the stakeholders in. And we had an FCC commissioner, and the FCC is the one that has the the big role in this. So I was certainly glad that she came to Arkansas and spent a couple of days here. But rural broadband is a real challenge. And one of the people we had there was Lane Zimmerman, who's on the Arkansas Economic Development Commission. Mm-hmm. And basically he said that any time now that a plant or some industry is looking to locate in Arkansas, broadband is always at or near the top of their list. We need broadband today to do business, and that's very important. And we need broadband in every part of the state, not just in Little Rock, not just in Jonesboro, not just in Fayetteville. We need it in every part of the state, and we need good quality broadband.
All right. Senator Mark Pryor, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, thank you very much.
Senator Mark Pryor joins us from on the road here in Arkansas. You're listening to Morning Edition on KASU.